Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour Humanoid!
When I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested, and all thumbs up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Recovery Rocks. Happy Friday or whatever day you're listening. It is your co-host, Tawny, with my fabulous co-host slash bestie slash spirit animal slash mentor slash lifeline.
My tarot goddess.
Tarot goddess.
It's so good to see you.
The list goes on. Your superlatives are eternal. Lisa.
As are yours.
This is such a weird question, but were you ever like voted anything, like most likely to whatever in high school or anything like that? Do you know what I mean?
No, I was the editor of our yearbook.
Wait, that's such a fun fact.
Yeah, I was the yearbook editor. There was a very cool person. I joined yearbook because it was a non-athletic fun activity, I thought.
Yeah.
A woman who, like, or a girl who I didn't know was on it. I joined in my sophomore year. And so I got to know her in my sophomore year. And then she went on to become the editor my junior year. And then I became the editor. And she's still a friend. Shout out to you, Brenda Martini. She's amazing. And yeah. She got me into it. She made your book cool. And so I tried to do the same.
I that's so fun. I didn't realize that you did that. Like, I was not on yearbook, but I did the morning announcements, like broadcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. Your first foray in broadcast journalism.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I wrote for my local newspaper when I was 14.
Oh my God.
So,
yes.
So you and I love that we share that. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Just made your support.
But but the reason I ask, there was one year I was voted most likely to be an MTV VJ.
Oh my gosh, that would have been so perfect for you.
I mean, that, like, I, like, Carson Daly was like one of my biggest heroes. Still kind of is.
God.
I love Carson Daly so much, but my goal was to be, you know, I wanted to host TRL, which is of course not really a
thing.
Yeah,
I remember. Sure.
Anymore, but yeah, so maybe, I don't know. If
how did this even come up for you today? Like, what made you think of this?
Because I was listing a bunch of superlatives for you, and so I was wondering if you were
okay.
If you
okay.
Yeah. I promise it came from
funny.
Somewhere.
No, I know it did. I just didn't know where.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, it's cool that we still get to learn about each other, even though we're like, so we're so ingrained in our daily lives, but we don't know a lot
funny,
about
yeah.
like each other's pasts. We're still learning about, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So funny.
Okay. So speaking of pop culture,
yes.
We recently watched a show on Netflix called Wellmania.
Yes.
You told me about it, and I obviously, we recommend shows and books and all sorts of things to each other. I watched the trailer for Wellmania and I was like, okay, I'm in. This is amazing. Do you want to
tell a little about it? Netflix. I remember reading, it's a series. It's just like, I don't know if they're going to do a season 2 or anything, but it's It's really easy to watch. They're not long episodes. And it's, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Australian comedian Celeste Barber. She's the one who stars in it. And it's basically this major party girl, journalist, right, who works for a magazine. She's, I don't want to spoil too much, but what she does is she goes on this quest to get quote unquote well, right? And in terms of like not, you know, what she's eating, what she's drinking, not drinking, drugs, whatever, like getting everything, following this regime and trying to get well. And it's just, it's really cleverly done, but it also, I thought it was, and it's based on a true story. It's based on another journalist's experience. But it dug into, I thought it was going to be more about like sort of a bit of a takedown of the wellness industry, which it was.
It was.
But it was so much more, there was so much more to it on the side of the protagonist's story that, and the background of why she, you know, she, when she was trying to take away the drugs and the booze and the overeating, like then being left with feelings, right? Which is what we deal with in recovery on a daily basis. And so it went a lot deeper than that. And it was, she was a really, you know, obviously it's a bit of a caricature. She's, you know, because it's television, but she's very real at the same time. Like I really could identify with her and a lot of those feelings. And I know you did too.
Yeah, definitely. That was a perfect summary of the show. It's, I believe it was adapted from a memoir.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So yeah, I'm curious to read the memoir.
I feel like I have to read the memoir.
Right? Yeah, I really related to this show because, you know, she's a millennial who's trying to get her shit together and she's, I believe, approaching her 40th birthday. In the show. So it was, some of the scenes were honestly difficult to watch because I knew that if I didn't get sober, this would be me. You know, it was painful at times, but it was also cathartic.
That's how you know you're getting it right. Yeah. Well,
exactly. And it's also cathartic in a way because I'm like, wow, that used to be me. You know, and and the fact that she's a journalist in New York, you know, and I'm like, now I get to be a journalist in New York, but actually remember everything I'm doing, be completely present for my work, also be present for my feelings and life as it happens on life's terms. And I this is the first thing I've seen with Celeste Barber, but I've followed her on Instagram for years. She's like, she is so funny. She posts these pictures or videos basically just making fun of other actors, models, like anyone who's doing like an extremely absurd photo shoot. She recreates it like with her, you know, she's a normal sized woman. So it's like, with her belly hanging out and her just, it's absurd. Like it's absurdist comedy and it's so funny. And that's how she got her bit. Like she was a comedian for a long time, but you know, the internet and her impersonating the Kardashians and, you know, and all these models is really like what brought her to maybe not quite a household name yet, but her comedy is purely brilliant. And I think like one of my biggest takeaways from the show was relating to how her character was just so desperate to find the quick fix. You know, like she has to get her shit together. Like we're not going to spoil the premise of the show, but she has to get her shit together by a deadline. Which is funny because she's a journalist and we love deadlines. So she's just trying to do, she gives up alcohol, she gives up drugs, she gives up, or no wait, she
she tries to do everything before giving up the alcohol and the drugs and balance and moderation. She does all these crazy cleanses and like goes to on all these spa days. And like, she thinks that after one or two days of doing something, she's going to be fixed and she's going to be healthy and everything will be better. And it's, yes, it's relatable, but it's, again, she brings this absurdist comedic approach that is, you know, the title, Wellmania. She's obsessed with getting better, but she's not willing to do what it actually takes to get better. She wants the Band-Aid. And I think right. that that's predominantly where a lot of us are in society, is we're sold these get rich quick schemes, these diet cleanses, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a great point. And also I thought about her in the sense of she, when you watch the show, you see that she's being sort of forced into having to get her act together. And she decides then it's a, you know, it's a great pitch for an article.
Yes.
But like, she's not doing it because she truly believes she has a problem and wants to get better. And that's sort of the discovery over the course of the show, right? Like, and this is the thing, like, she comes in being like, I can do, the attitude at the beginning is, no problem, I got this. I don't yes. have any, you know, I can do this. Sure, yeah, you want me to go to the gym? Great, I'll go to the gym. You know, I need to do this, I need to do that, fine, yeah. And then when confronted with it, it's not just something like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. And there's like the decision of like, do I want this? You know, if I truly want this for me, I got to work really hard on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it also, you know, it just demonstrated well the whole idea of, to me, like, I really do, you know, I get this question a lot when I speak, but when people are like, how can I get somebody to go to treatment? How can I get somebody
yeah.
to change? And I always say, I'm like, you know, there, you never know, you never give up on somebody, right? But at the same time, it is very hard if that person doesn't want it for themselves, right? And I think there was a lot of sort of that happening in the show, right? Of her figuring out, really, do I don't die? What do I want? And then,
yes,
you know, the way she felt the feelings, right? I think she would get like angry.
She got angry, and it, you know, it we eventually learn why she's self-medicating this whole time, and we get like these little, you know, Easter eggs throughout, but it's really, it's, we get a physical representation of anxiety. We see her have these anxiety attacks to almost sometimes blacking out from her anxiety of what she's repressed from her past. And I think that they did a really good job of showing that, because that that's difficult to show. And each time we see her panic attack, we learn a little bit more. And it's like, it's an interesting writing style, because it's like, we're learning it with her. You know, we're putting the puzzle together with her. And then finally, in the final episode, we see that's what happened to her. This is why.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I love that it's not a sobriety story. It is like the title says, it's Wellmania. She's obsessed with getting better, but she just doesn't know how to do it. It's not about abstinence. It's not about giving up alcohol or drugs it's about finding balance, dealing with your past, dealing with your feelings. And that's what, you know, I hope they do a season two. They left it on a kind of a cliffhanger. I think they will.
I bet they do.
So who knows? She might explore sobriety. We don't really know, but I like that it wasn't like agenda pushing of, recovery. It's more just, you got to take care of yourself.
Right. And how does this woman come to that?
And it's a good balance of, like you and I always say, mental health is physical health. We see how her repressing what happened when she was a child, how it manifested physically in her entire adult life. You know, like we don't see that too often. And I think it was just a great representation.
It was. It definitely was. I definitely recommend it. And also, since that came out, like much more recently, she has a new Netflix comedy special. I just watched it.
Oh, how was it? I need to watch.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I went into Wellmania. I had no idea who she was. And I really didn't pay attention to who the actress was playing this character. And then I'm watching her comedy special. And I'm like, oh, she's kind of funny. But not like, you know, like John Mulaney's comedy special.
Yes.
I only realized at the end of the thing that, oh my God, that's the actress from Wellmania.
Wait, really? You didn't realize that?
Yes. I didn't know it was her. Because I sometimes, when I'm just like puttering around, I like to put on a comedy special just because I watch way too much news and I'm trying to correct some of that.
Yeah.
And so I had it on. I was like, oh, Celeste, I don't know. She could be funny. Put it on. And I'm really, she's funny. I have to say, I liked Wellmania better than the special. But but it is like, you got to watch it now.
You know, I wonder if it's cultural, because there's some stand-up specials of people that I love that I just couldn't get into because the comedy, I think, is cultural. Like, she's Australian, and you know, and like, for example, like I love Trevor Noah. I've read his book. I love The Daily Show. I can't get into his stand-up. I don't know why, like, because a lot of his jokes are about being from South Africa. And I just didn't, you know, I don't get it. So I'm just wondering if it's the same with Celeste.
I think I've watched his stand-up and I love him.
I don't know that I've only watched his older stand-up from before he was on The Daily Show, before he was like very relevant over here, you know?
Right.
But his book is phenomenal. I don't know if you've read it, Born a Crime.
No, I haven't, and I've always wanted to. I need to read it. Yeah.
It's really good. It's you and I have been watching a lot of stand-up. John Mulaney's was unbelievable.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. John Mulaney's was incredible. This is my first John Mulaney stand-up to watch, but I'm a big fan of Big Mouth.
So maybe talk about John Mulaney.
He's talking about getting out of rehab. If you followed his career at all, he went, was it 2020?
I believe it was 2020, yeah.
Like the fall of 2020, he went to rehab and then like within a year also got divorced. Like he went through a lot in a really short time. And so his stand-up special that came out.
Baby.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
With Olivia Munn.
Yeah. He
had a lot of drama.
A lot going on with this guy. And like many of us, we deal with our mental health and our strife by finding the humor in it. And like once you've processed it, you can find the humor in it. And that's what his new stand-up special is all about. And he's been very open about his issues with substance abuse and mental health in the past. One of my favorite jokes is he's a recovering cocaine addict, and he talks about
it's
brilliant.
Brutal.
Like, especially if you're in recovery, it's even funnier. And especially if you've done coke or put anything up your nose, because a lot of his jokes are about snorting things.
I felt very seen in that.
Yes, I did too. I did too. And one of his jokes, he's like, as a coke addict, we see the world in terms of surfaces. Like, what can I snort off of this? Oh my God, I died laughing. Like, that was, it's so true. Because I still see surfaces like that. And I didn't realize it until he said that.
Yeah, like the tops of toilets in public restrooms.
Yes, like what right? can I snort off of this?
I have to say it has been 19 years and I still, anytime I walk into like a restroom in like in a restaurant or something or wherever I am and it's like it closes and you're truly alone, it's not like a stall situation, I'm always like, good Coke bathroom. Like make
yes.
a mess right?
That is
like
so
the
funny.
Score, right? I knew what the bathrooms were like at every bar we went to in New York. Yeah.
That's one of my go-to I guess self-deprecating jokes, maybe in the style of John Mulaney, is like if I'll eat off of someone's fork, or like if I drop my fork on the floor, I pick it up, I'm like, someone's like, oh my God, you're gonna eat off of that? I'm like, I've snorted Coke off of public toilets. Like, this isn't gonna do anything to me.
Wasn't he talking about doing it? It's like the baby diaper changing table in a bathroom.
Oh yes. He has
it. I may be remembering that wrong, but for some reason.
No, you're right. He was talking about how he was like the diaper changing.
Yeah.
Things in bathrooms. He's like, those are for Coke. I don't know what you guys are using it for. That's not, people don't change their baby's diapers on that. I've never done that.
Me neither. I've never done that.
Probably won't either. I don't think I ever will, but yeah, it's just fun. It's great. It's really great. And I revisit Bo Burnham stand up on a regular basis.
Yeah, I almost watched Inside yet again last night and I didn't, but I'm like, it's coming due.
You know, it's a classic. It is a modern classic. And his show, it's on Netflix now, but it was an MTV show in like 2010 called Zach Stone is Gonna Be Famous.
Right.
And this is when he was very fresh on the scene, you know, he was very young, probably like 20 years old. So he plays this guy, Zach Stone, who just got out of high school. He spends all of his money on hiring a camera crew to follow him around. And his goal is to just be famous. He wants, like, his goal is to just be like a reality star. And each episode is him being trying to be famous for something different, like a singer, an actor, a chef. He's just desperate for attention. One of the episodes, he tries to become famous by writing ringtones. His songs are ringtones.
I've never watched that. He performs
a concert of his ringtones, and it's like, it's cringeworthy humor, but I would also say very ahead of his time, because at the time it was preposterous to think, oh, no one's going to want to listen to just 10 seconds of a song. And here we are in the age of TikTok.
Here we are. Where
now even big names like Lizzo, like big artists, they have to have a 10 second hook that's going to go viral on TikTok before they can get a full album out there, you know, like.
Yeah.
And artists are speaking up about it. Halsey has been very vocal about how TikTok is kind of ruining the music business. And I'm on a tangent now, but we can go back to Bo Burnham. Hijacked the mic.
No. I remember one of the happiest days for me was discovering that I could actually have the opening chords of The Stones' Gimme Shelter, my all-time favorite song, as my ringtone.
Yes.
And it's still, because I used to hate the sound of my phone ringing. I'd be like, ugh, so when I heard it ring. And now I hear, like, I can get all trippy, you know, like with the opening of Gimme Shelter.
My mom's is, when I call her, it's Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. Which is, obviously, I never hear it because I've never called her when I'm with her. But so she'll answer the phone like, hey, sweet child of mine. And when she gets text messages, she has a text message ringtone, and it's the intro to Tom Sawyer by Rush.
Oh, and that's a great one.
It's good, but like when I hang out with her for like a full day, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't
have sounds notifying me of texts.
Me neither. My phone's either on vibrate. Now it's usually just on do not disturb pretty much all the time because I do not want to be disturbed, Lisa.
Yeah. We do not want to be disturbed.
I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Is there a point in doing a music minute for this episode? Because
I'm going to put in links. Yeah, this is a music minute. I'm going to put in links also for music minute for the soundtrack to Wellmania because it was a great soundtrack. There's a Spotify list. And I'll put in Bo Burnham's. Bo Burnham's Inside also. And the other song that made me think of when we think about Wellmania, there was always something that really resonated with me when it came out of Matchbox 20's Unwell.
You know, that song was so ahead of its time.
Crazy, I'm just a little unwell.
That song and the video was so cute. That song was so ahead of its time. Like
it was.
Oh.
Did I just like punch you in the stomach there?
Yeah, a little bit. Sorry, I'm speechless. Well, I was also, anytime I hear Matchbox 20, I think about how the first time I had sex, it was listening to their first album, Yourself or Someone Like You.
Oh my gosh.
This is like, their first album with Push and 3AM my boyfriend, like my first boyfriend was obsessed with Matchbox 20. And so that's what we listened to.
Okay, that's kind of cute.
Yeah, it's great. And they just had a new album come out. I haven't listened, but
really?
I would check it out.
I love his voice so much.
I do too. I love his solo work. Like, I think he's great.
Yeah. No, that's a good music minute.
Yeah, Rob Thomas.
Yeah.
He's also good at making fun of himself. He was on, did you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, another show I always wanted to watch.
He plays himself on an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I always respect when someone does that and they can just make fun of themselves.
Oh,
you know?
Totally.
Like
totally.
Josh Groban does that a lot. He plays himself and it's it's if you can make fun of yourself, I think you're just like you probably have a
Well, I think you know we obviously both of us feel like you know it humor is important to you know it's not even just like recovery or staying sober or whatever, it's just important to life, like you know there's I mean, Stripes is one of my favorite movies, and you just every once in a while, it's, you know, lighten up, Francis.
That reminds me, have you watched Working Moms?
No. Another one on my list. You like that?
I love it. It's his daughter, the guy who wrote Stripes. I can't, what's his name? His daughter wrote and stars in Working Moms, and there's a scene in the show where she's wearing a Stripes shirt. It's like an ode to
my
dad. Yeah, it's really a great show. Like obviously neither of us have kids, but like it's really well done because it shows four working moms and what it's like to be a mom, a wife, have all of this life stuff going on. And but it's nuanced, you know, like there's one of the moms just like really struggles with motherhood. She's like, I don't know if this is for me. This is really freaking hard. And I hadn't seen that portrayed on screen before, and I found it very refreshing. But it's a comedy, you know.
I was gonna say it's funny though, right?
It's a comedy. Yeah. It's very well done. They all met in like a mom group.
So like I said, I've been looking for distractions. And so I decided to go back to the Cold War. I had never watched The Americans. And okay, the whole series is on Hulu. And yesterday, I got to be honest, I was having like a complicated day, and I had a bunch of stuff in the morning, and it was just dealing with, you know, I was trying to help some people, and sometimes it's not great, you know, it can't always be the conversation you want it to be. But I was like, I said, I'm going to start watching The Americans. I wanted something totally different for some reason. Like, I had always heard that it was the best show. I binged 6 episodes of the first season. I had to stop myself from going to episode 7 of season 1. I'm like so in, it's ridiculous. And it okay. is, but you know, and I, but also remember, you know, I was in the 1980s, the early 80s, I was in high school. So I remember all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like I yeah. was the age of the kids, and it oh, wasn't, that's cool. You know, so all of it seems familiar, but it's so good. It's so good. So I can't stop watching that.
Well, I mean, that's also one of those shows I've never watched it, but I've heard wonderful things. It won all yeah. of the awards consistently. Yeah. And you know, they filmed an episode of The Americans in front of my apartment. Must have been like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But this was when I lived way up, like almost near Fort yeah. Tryon Park, and they film a lot there. It's such a beautiful part of like little hidden gem of the city. And I remember just like, you know, seeing Carrie Russell in a car filming, and I've always loved her because yes. she was one of the few curly haired celebrities.
You know,
I was like, we had her.
Unabashedly curly haired.
Yes. Her, Rebecca Gayheart. Right. I mean, Julia Roberts, of course, but like Carrie Russell had like the kinky curls, and I was just like, finally, someone who looks like
another
me.
Curly girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's... you know what made me also remember that I had wanted to watch The Americans is I just finished The Diplomat on Netflix that she's in. And I think it's the same person who did The Americans.
Oh, okay,
and
that makes sense.
Is another, like, political thriller. Yeah,
that's your vibe. Show. I mean, I'm still, like, I watch The Office probably 2 or 3 episodes a day at least. Like
it's all, good. Like, I mean there is as we've said before, like these things are necessary. Like you gotta get out of your head. Right?
Yes. Like, yes. Like one of my favorite things to do is when I'm like I'll cook dinner, I have my laptop out with my AirPods in, and I just watch a couple episodes of The Office while I'm cooking. And that's just like
yeah.
I'm not thinking about anything else, you know, and I'm just laughing. I'm laughing.
It's like a meditation.
It is. You know? It is just so nice. And it's to the point now where I'm like, I can recite a lot of it by heart.
Yeah.
But it's comforting, you know, it's like it's comforting to watch these repeated shows and love these characters.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. It's
Do you
true.
Have any shows that you rewatch, like any comfort shows like that?
You know what I still watch, both old and new? I'm watching, Craig and I still watch this season, is South Park.
Oh, yeah.
I love South Park.
Yes, it's great.
All right, I'm going to tell my quick South Park story and then we will, we can wrap this long episode off. So back in... I don't know, whenever it was, the year or two before South Park came out, there, what had happened was, I don't know if you know the origin of South Park, but it was commissioned, what it was a video back, like, this is what, like 20 years ago or something or more?
Longer than that.
Yeah. And so it was commissioned, some executive at one of the record companies or what, had asked these, Trey Parker, Matt Stone to do a video holiday card for, you know, that person could send out on video. And it was so old. I mean, this was on cassette tape. This was like, this was pre-DVD, right?
Yeah, it was VHS.
And so a friend of ours worked at Warner Brothers Music, and he got his hands on it somehow. It made its way to him, and it was on a, it was like on a Friday or something, and we were, I was at the beach. We were, you know, I was with my friends at the beach, and our friend who had gotten the thing gave it to us and was like, okay, I'm not going to tell you anything about this, but just go watch it. And we took it to the beach, and we kind of forgot about it. And then we were like, oh yeah, let's watch that video. And if you want to see it, what it was originally, it's called The Spirit of Christmas. It's the original set. It's what they got their series to begin with based on. And we put it in once, and we were just like stunned. Imagine like having never seen South Park, right?
Yeah.
Or anything like it. We were just stunned. And we played that thing on loop for the entire weekend at the beach. By the time I went home on Sunday morning, I had memorized the entire thing. It never stopped. We still, to this day, my friends and I still like some of the, you know, some of the lines in that original Spirit of Christmas are some of our favorite things. Like, dude, this is pretty fucked up right here.
I didn't know this about you, Lisa. I'm learning.
Yes.
Like, we're learning a lot about each other. Did you see? Okay, this is the last thing. So I'm going to get the last word.
Okay.
In the New York Times, they interviewed Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They're going to build Casa Bonita.
No.
Yes, they're literally.
I did not know that.
They're building. So this is, if you're listening and you've not watched South Park, it's probably one of their most famous episodes where go to a Mexican restaurant that's like a theme park. It's just like, it's ridiculous. And so they're building it. So we got to go.
We'll go. We also have to go to Mom's Spaghetti.
That's true.
M&M's
restaurant in Detroit, Mom's Spaghetti.
Yeah, they did a pop-up in New York I saw online.
Recently?
A while ago.
We need to just do like a pop culture food tour. We could do a Recovery Rocks pop culture food tour. Let's set that up with all of our free time.
By Recovery Rocks.
Oh my God, if we could get Guy Fieri involved, that's the goal.
I don't know. He's good.
Okay, let's close it up. Thank you all so much for listening to us just shoot the shit basically this week.
Yeah.
But these episodes are always fun. Like we're still learning about each other. This is you know, proof that like friendship and love and recovery, you're still going to keep learning.
And intergenerational friendships are a big thing now.
Yes, yes. I tagged you, you know, I guess another pop culture thing. On Ted Lasso, you know, Keeley and I can't remember Hannah Whittingham's name on the show, but you know, they're like 20 years apart and they're just best of friends. And there was this Instagram post about the beauty of intergenerational friendships. And it was like, tag your intergenerational bestie. And I, of course, tagged Lisa.
I love it.
My best buddy.
We'll see you next time.
All right.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.